What's up, world? This is Blake, the host and the author of this diary, and this is The Diary of a Mad Black Man. Thank you for tuning in, and I hope you enjoy the show. Hey guys, what's going on? So today's episode is going to be a very special one. You guys are going to get a very raw conversation of two guys literally sitting down and doing exactly what the title says. Let's talk about mental health. JK is a guy I met a couple months back. He's one of the guys behind the brand Let's Talk About Mental Health. If you all check my social media, you'll see the hoodie. I do rock that hoodie quite often. It's one of my favorite hoodies simply because I love the message behind the brand. And so when I told him about my podcast and what I had going on, it was just like, it was a no-brainer that we had to sit down and collaborate. And I also want to let you guys know that there's more things happening off mic, like events and things like that, that I want to help JK and his team put together, talking about mental health. We're already scheduling another episode to be recorded with some more members of his team, so you'll definitely be hearing more about the brand Let's Talk Mental Health. And this month is very important. I've been planning for this for a while on my podcast, and I just want to raise awareness and just learn more about myself. And so in the process of raising awareness, I've been educating myself and learning more. But this here, which you guys are about to be tuned into, is a very organic conversation. We did no outlines, no real set topics we wanted to talk about. We literally just said, we're going to sit down, record a podcast, and talk about mental health. And that's what we have here today. So I hope you all enjoy it. I hope you all take something away from it. Please be sure you follow me on the socials. Follow JK at JK the GM on Instagram, because we got some great things in store that we'll be working on, putting out more content, doing events. If you're in the Atlanta area, you might want to get connected, because this is something that I'm going to be working and putting more energy into as well. So without further ado, I don't want to hold you guys up too long in the intro. So I'm going to go ahead and get into the episode. I hope you enjoy it. Thank you for listening. Thank you for tuning in. And here we go. Super wild. All right. So I think I think a good way to really kick this show off would be to tell about the day. So I was at work and my boss came in there, and she was like, "Yo, go check out the embroidery store next door." Boy. You know what I'm saying? And I was like, there's an embroidery shop next door. And that's, you know, something that, you know, as a company, we have been looking for companies to make clothes and stuff like that. And so we go over there, me and my coworkers go over there. And I was just really, the first thing that caught me off was just the sheer size of the store. You know what I'm saying? Other what would you say now? Would you call it a store, warehouse, shop?
I'll call it a creative space.
A creative space, okay.
Take a look at the we just went next door. I like to call it the creativity. I like to make creativity a noun.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Not a verb.
Okay.
I wanted to make, we went next door to the creativity, because that's what people do when they come in there. They get, it's like it taps into a different type of creative when they see certain shit. And
listen.
Like, damn, I like that.
And that's where my mind had been at for a long time, in thinking about, you know, just my show and everything. So to go into that space was very inspiring just in that moment. It's like when you see something and you know it aligns with, you know, who you are, how you think, or the different things you want to achieve or accomplish, and it matches, it's just like you go with it immediately, because you know it's that alignment. And so to go in there and to like see everything, and to see how the shop was set up, and how it was a bunch of young brothers in there just really doing their thing, like creating some dope stuff. Like, what was that one piece you said that, or it was like a purple
Picasso?
It's called Picasso.
Picasso joint. Yeah, that's Luke's joint.
Yeah. But then even when you put out your,
oh, you talking about my joint, my jacket away?
Yes.
Oh yeah, that's a master. That's a 1-on-1 for the GM. That's a coat that I wanted to make before All-Star Weekend, you know what I'm saying, a tribute to Kobe. And it just happened to be, we just happened to find some dope fabric in that color and in the gold, because gold is one of my favorite colors. And Stevie did his thing on that. And, you know, it wasn't finished, but it still was just like, I couldn't go anywhere without somebody pulling on it or touching it or asking where. It's fire. And that was just made a couple of days before I left.
Yeah. And so, and so for the people to know as well, like, that's when, like, I was introduced to this hoodie that I have on. What's it say? Let's talk about mental health. So let's kind of back up a little bit for the show. Just let people know, like, how we came about having this conversation about these hoodies, what this brand means to you and what it is.
So let's talk about mental health. For me is myself and Stevie, my manager, bringing about awareness and creating a space for people to allow themselves to be vulnerable in talking and dealing with their problems and not be judged. It's not necessarily a space where it's like a psychologist or you break down your problems, but it's almost like creating an atmosphere of people like yourself that you can identify with, that you see, physically see, that have been through the same problems, but also seeing that they've got through them too. And it's kind of creating like a, bringing awareness to all the other different platforms and organizations out there that people have access to that they might not know of, because somebody like myself, I thought that you had to have a really specific type of insurance to see a psychologist. That's expensive, but there's hundreds of organizations out there that are available in different groups. Like I go to at Rise Recovery every Thursday, it's a more of a creative healing, active healing through the arts, creative spaces, and just kind of just sitting and talking and dealing with it. And you find that a lot of people that deal with problems or deal with mental health, they just want a space where they can just be heard and listened to. You know what I mean? And that's really important for what it is we're creating. And then what I have on Mondays is called the Locker Room, where it's going to be specifically for men, where we have that space where we can come in and voice, even if it's just our frustrations or whatever problems that we're dealing with mentally, for young African-American men, young men in general. There's that space, the more of these spaces need to be created. And I feel like through this platform, Let's Talk About Mental Health, through our first panel, I didn't really realize until we actually done it, they really realized that there needs to be more spaces and creative spaces like this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. There was such a need. Our audience was just so diverse and so engaged, and most importantly, they were so young. You know what I mean? Like, there needs to be somewhere out there for the youth, man. You know what I mean? And I just feel like it's become almost, you know what I mean, my purpose to really drive this. And I feel like, you know, it's necessary to create what I needed and still need.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And give that back and make sure that nobody has to go through what I had to go through. You know what I mean? I don't want them to. You know what I mean? So that's really our purpose. It's you know, it's a little trying times right now, but that still doesn't mean you can't sit down and talk. You know what I mean? If anything, we have more time to do that. You know what I mean? So it should be engaging to where people can just sit down, you know what I mean, vibe it out, kind of put the pause button on everything and really assess all the things that really matter. You know what I mean? Because that's what things can pile on quickly if you let them. You know what I'm saying? You got to unpack things. So
yeah, and it's a process to do that, to unpack things. And I think something that's very important that you said is that, you know, that safe space, and there's not that many spaces for that, and the need for that space. I know I can think about times when I was going through different things that where my mental health was really affecting my daily life, you know, how I, you know, performed at work, to just, you know, my eating habits and everything. But not having an outlet, not having a safe space to go to, not having people to rely on or to confide in, and also not having the language to express myself as well.
Exactly. Yeah.
Not because it was something so fresh and so new.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, how do you begin to talk about mental illness and what that means? And then you find out, and for I know for me, a very big moment was when I really had to sit back and ask myself, which was like, is this really an issue? And not necessarily an issue like a medical issue. Like, I really have a medical condition.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I really have to, like, really wrap my mind around that, because I think, especially, like, when it comes to, like, our people, we don't put it in that category of a medical condition.
No, we try and pray it away and all that. You know, let's go to church. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about it. Let me go get your aunt and we'll talk about this. No, it's really...
Yeah.
Really, and that's... And that's been, that's all, it's how it's always been. It's not been a real thing. It's just been more like a, come on, man, tighten up. You know what I mean? It's not
man
like,
up.
Man,
that's a big, big one. And the fact that sometimes makes the symptoms and side effects of having mental illness worse. Because now it's just like any other physical condition. You know, you're not getting properly treated.
Nah, and it spills over into your social life, and it spills over to our young brothers, where that one young man who's been dealing with that exact thing you were just talking about, being told to tighten up and having all these feelings and emotions, not knowing how to deal with them, just packing in, and then it turns into a look at me wrong. Turns into somebody dying, you know what I'm saying?
Yep.
It just spilled over, you know what I'm saying? And we can unpack, I want to get to everything before that. You know what I mean? Like, you know, there's a lot of mentally ill, good people, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? That want to be, good, but they just don't know how to pack things mentally, because they don't know how to identify. Like, I didn't know how. I didn't know what the fuck was going on when I was handling, you know, like, what is this? You know what I'm saying? Why is the most happiest dude in the world thinking about offing himself? You know what I'm saying? There's something wrong with that. I gotta get help. And luckily I reached out to a person who was there for me and still is, and kind of helped navigate this into a way to where I need to make sure that as I bushwhack and trailblaze, there's a path there for the people coming behind, because it's
yeah, you know, that's one of the reasons why I really love doing this show and doing this podcast, because it's like I'll be able to look back, and even the episodes that I've already done, but I know like a year from now, 2 years from now, 5 years from now, I'll be able to look back on the different things that I've done and the episodes that I've had and see the growth. And I think that when we think about mental health, or when we begin to talk about it, we also got to understand that there's a process of growth that we have to engage with, and just knowing more about it, understanding what it is and how to handle it. You know what I'm saying? I think that, and that's one of the hardest things, is to find that space to just now deal with it, not only just accept it, but then, because I feel like acceptance has to come before you really deal with it, you know what I'm saying?
Exactly, and that actually leads into behind our brand with the Let's Talk About Mental Health with Surrender, you know, with Stevie. The story behind Surrender is that when he was going through his battles, he finally got to the point to where he surrendered to the help. You know what I'm saying? He surrendered to getting help. He surrendered to talking about it. He surrendered to allowing God in his situation, you know what I'm saying, to fix it. And that's kind of what, you know what I'm saying, the whole creation of, you know what I'm saying, his brand and our brand and the purpose behind it. Because there's a lot of stuff out there where people just put it out there, but there's a real purpose behind this, you know what I mean? It's like us surrendering to the help is allowing us to tap into a creativity for you, you know what I'm saying, for people to see in another way. And I think that's going to be, really cool to see how people that are going, been through or dealt with the same things, will be able to take that and turn that into something positive like this. You know what I mean? Just like you are with this podcast. You know what I mean? Just like I am with with my company and what I'm doing, you know what I mean, and everybody around me is just being able to turn something, the test that you're going through, and turn into a testimony, man. It's all a test. And you either gonna pass or fail. You know what I mean? But what are you learning in between? That which is really important, and making sure that you're sharing that, because you got to give back. That's the only thing that really matters. If that's not more prevalent now than ever. Like the shit that people thought really mattered, really don't. Like, damn, like, I got all these cars in my garage, but I got no toilet paper. Listen. You know what I'm saying? Like this, if they're saying now, man, you know, you gotta really, you know what I'm saying? The family is the most important thing, man. Your health, and your health dictates your wealth, bro. Doesn't matter if you got all the money in the world, you know what I'm saying? You can't spend. Ain't gonna take your place when you're on your deathbed. Trust me, I was there. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's
health is definitely your wealth, and it's like when you're not. Well, I use myself as an example. I knew that when I was not well and still dealing with it, you know, at a much higher level than I am now, it was nearly impossible to enjoy anything, any accomplishment, any achievement, any amount of money, any amount of success. It just didn't make it. It didn't seem like anything when you know you're not well on the inside. You know what I'm saying? And that's another thing too, because even though it didn't mean anything to a certain degree, it was still something I used as a crutch, as a way to suppress things. You know what I'm saying? It was the one thing that I knew would give me a sense of relief. You know what I'm saying? To go and have a nice car, to go and go shopping. So there were certain, I think that a big misconception in mental health is that it manifests itself in different behaviors. You know what I'm saying? Whether that leads to different addictions with substances, alcohol, weed, whatever it may be, or it may be like a physical shopping addiction, like retail and things like that. So there's lots of different things that can be a result of having a mental illness, and it's not necessarily like the traditional in a psych ward, like kind of traditional sense of thinking. And so what do you think can be done to kind of broaden the conversation? I mean, obviously having conversations about it, but what are some things you think that we could strategically be doing? You talk about, so I know you got a couple projects that we've been talking about to strategically kind of end that stigma to help elevate the conversation.
I think number one, it needs to be brought to the fore and let people know that it's okay to talk about it. You know what I mean? Secondly, people need to be not only aware it's okay. I think there needs to be more attention in the schools, especially with these young kids when they come in. There needs to be a space because a lot of these kids are coming from, that I've come across, are coming from situations in school. It's kind of like a vacation for them, you know what I mean? And then when they leave, it's like, yeah, they go back to their situation, you know what I mean? And a lot of that can spill into, I've come across kids who are just angry for no reason, you know what I'm saying? Just angry about anything, bro. Like, I'm serious, like, I'm so serious. And I come from kids who I've come across in the summers where I've coached some basketball where, it seems like it's just a lot of pressure on them. You know what I mean?
You know, it reminds me of when I used to be a teacher, and even before I was a teacher, when I worked with youth in like after school programs, summer enrichment programs, there was even times when I have tutored, and I've always noticed that the kids that really needed the most attention and love and support were the ones who acted out the most.
Yep.
You know, and those are the kids that are usually not given the support, not given the resources, and not given the attention, love that they need. You know what I'm saying? Because they're obviously not getting it at home.
No.
You know what I'm saying? And I've never met a young person who didn't want to learn, didn't want to better themselves, didn't want to be good or do good in this world. You know what I'm saying? The thing is, they don't know how at that age.
Exactly.
You know, and so a lot, and to be keep it 100, a lot of these schools are not equipped to really deal with the environments that their students are living in.
And if you want to take it even further, it's not even just equipped, it's funded. Like, a lot of these teachers are being paid $30,000 and $35,000 to come and not only just teach kids, but also sometimes babysit them, and then also raise their families and take care of them. And you know what I'm saying? And also have to buy their own supplies to teach the kids, and then all the pressure on to make these kids pass these programs, but they're not equipped to do so. So it takes onus on them. But the whole system is, you know what I'm saying, like that. I'm from Louisiana. I'm from New Orleans, bro. So it's always been a situation where I always wish I had, like, when I was in school, like, there was right after school, like, I was always involved in sports, but there would be like another place, like a big rec center where I can go in and just be like a creative arts museum. Mm-hmm. Like, kids would be able to, okay, what you're being learned, you're being taught in school, but you can cultivate it here. Like, mm-hmm. there's a creative arts space. There's a big field for athletics. There's dance. There's music. There's fashion. There's business. You know what I'm saying? There's in each spot of the city where it's just, you know what I'm saying, there for the kids can come, and I'd rather have them there and being active and having more active where they can tap into their, you know what I'm saying, their potential. And then they'd rather be there than be in the street. You know what I mean? And they can understand, and they're able to understand and deal with each other in a way to where they can work with each other. You know what I'm saying? In different capacities, because you can identify, oh, damn, that man, he's cold at making shirts. But you know what I'm saying? I'm cold at this marketing. You know what I'm saying? I know how to put together a plan like that. You know what I'm saying? There needs to be more spaces where kids can be cultivated. Their talents can be cultivated is what I mean, in programs like that. And also resources to help provide to more be there for the situations, because like I said, a lot of these kids just want to be heard, man. Mm-hmm. You know, feel like they're being ignored, and that's where all the acts, a lot of frustration comes from. I've seen it myself. I'm only speaking from what I've seen and experienced. So that's really what the target is, and that's the whole big plan. The whole cultivated space. That's my personal plan. That's what I'm going to do personally, because I mean, there's no way that, well, I really love kids. I really love kids. And I wish I would been more inclined to try more, a lot more things early. You know what I mean? Cause so I can really know what my creativity is. Because I don't know if I would have stuck with playing the trumpet, how cold I would have been. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, man, that's crazy. You know, I think about stuff like that all the time. Like, I remember, like, when I had the opportunity to, like, run track, to join band, to, you know, do football.
Do it all, man.
You know what I'm saying? To do all those things. And as a child, like, my upbringing, so I was born in the Chicago area, moved around quite a bit as a kid, too. So I think that also had a lot to do with it. But I never really got the opportunity to really commit to something outside of, like, the basic requirements of going to school.
Mm-hmm.
And I see how that has, in a lot of ways, I've always felt like it's in, like, a void from that. You know what I'm saying? Because a lot of people can say, oh, I've done this. I used to do this when I was growing up, or I used to do that. But I don't have any, like, good hobby or skill, or, you know, I used to play the trumpet or anything like that. But now, as an adult, looking back, I see how those outlets, those creative spaces to explore and to engage with something different and to be in a creative space around something different than yourself allows a person to really grow and evolve in a way that's very special. You know, and we need more of those spaces. We need more spaces for people to be able to be creative, whether that be around like a art, music, drawing, painting, sculpture like thing, or it'd be more of like a journal, film, production, podcasting kind of thing. I just think that that'll help more people also be able to unload a lot of the things that we're dealing with too, be able to take some of that energy and put it into other things that are productive.
Definitely. And don't you wish that you would have found what you're most passionate about now 15, 20 years ago? I want to create a place where kids can tap into their potential as early as possible. Like, there is no way, whether it be we have gymnastics on a Tuesday and the mom brings the daughter in there who is just, you know, just real has a lot of energy and bouncing around, and all of a sudden she's tumbling from one end to the other. I'm like, damn, got a young Dominique Dawes in here, you know what I'm saying? And boom. Or the kid that loves video games a lot but sees an old computer back there and fixes that shit. Like, damn, cuz. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got a little Steve Jobs in here, you know what I'm saying? Like, for real, you know what I'm saying? Like, I would love that, you know what I'm saying? Especially with the music and the arts. You never know, bro. Like, I really, really love kids, bro. And there's no reason why they shouldn't have every opportunity, you know what I'm saying, to be who they want to be.
Yeah, I think it's definitely a big failure on just not only the education system, but on society in general.
Period.
I don't think us here in America, I don't think we value our children the way that we say we do. And I know that sounds kind of harsh, but it's the truth. You know, if you look at the conditions of some of these schools, there's no way that we can say that we truly value our kids, but we're sending them into these buildings that look like this, that operate like this, and that lack the resources that these kids really need and lack the outlets that we know they really want to engage with and need to and should be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's like there's so many things in the world that should exist that in theory, like, for example, you would think that just by talking about mental health, raising awareness, it would, you know, end the stigma and raise awareness. You know, my experience too is that even in doing that, there's still work to be done. You know, there's still work that has to be done in creating those spaces and continuing to push that message forward, because even as it's becoming a somewhat more of a mainstream topic, I still think there's a lot of work that needs to be done as far as resources and availability of resources, like for people that need help, that may be in crisis, may need a therapist. Like for me, I found my therapist through this Instagram account, Therapy for Black Men, and I actually pay out of pocket. She doesn't take my insurance, so it's like I actually find a therapist, so I just every session I pay her. And so that's how I'm able to go to therapy and just deal with all this stuff, because it's a lot. It's a lot to know that there's these systems that exist that are massive, like the education system in America. And the fact that it's operating, but it's not doing what it's supposed to be doing for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? That's facts. That's what the data and the record shows. Research shows that it's failing more than it is helping.
Absolutely, dog. But that's why these spaces need to be created, man. You know what I mean? It needs to be more made more readily available. It needs to be in the school system. It needs to be in the jail systems as well. I've had a couple young men since the last panel that came from the system. You know what I mean? It was just like, wow. If I knew what I know now, then, you know what I mean, things wouldn't have changed, but I lost 4 years of my life. You know what I mean? So they're trying to bridge the gap and shorten it. You know what I mean? And those programs and stuff are being put in place. There's a whole plan, man. There's a whole... mental health is something that everybody deals with, Blake. You know what I'm saying? It's like, it doesn't matter the color, the creed. You know, that's one thing I learned in dealing with mine, is that it doesn't discriminate. You know what I mean? It's something that we all have in common. And once we realize that, we can all heal each other. You know what I'm saying? We can all love that. I mean, that could be a beautiful thing. A really beautiful thing. But, you know, We just have to get it there and keep
Yeah, I've always been curious as to why it seems to be accepted by other communities more than, like, in the Black community. You know what I'm saying? Like, why don't we? And even still now, like, I would say within the last 10 years, with the amount of resources and technology and information we have available to us, we're still very behind in our knowledge and awareness around topics like mental health.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And this is something that affects a lot of us. You know, we're some of the most traumatized people. You know, and even when you deal with it, you know, that in and of itself creates a trauma experience. Dealing with mental health, to find out that you're having to deal with it. So it's a very complex issue and topic to even begin to unpack.
A lot. That makes a lot of sense. I never really... I think about, like, my grandfather. My grandfather, my mom's dad, who was still closest to the around in the era that he grew up in. You know what I mean? They didn't have...
What era was that?
See, he was born in 1932. Ooh. So he's 80, my old boy, 83. So, I mean, he grew up through the whole... Really, the Great Depression, Second World War... Civil rights, Vietnam. He's seen the whole maturation. Yeah. And so in his mind, he didn't have time to sit around and think, you know what I'm saying, about the whole thing. You know what I'm saying? He had to, you know what I'm saying, try to find out where he was going to be able to get something to eat at without getting his ass kicked. You know what I'm saying? Like, whatever. Not that my old boy got his ass kicked, you know what I'm saying? But I'm just saying, like, they had to really worry about...
They didn't have the luxury.
They didn't have the luxury of what we had now. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, they really had to get it. You know what I'm saying? So they had to pass that mentality down. You had to have a certain type of mental health to be able to go out and walk out of your door and know that for absolutely no reason you can't have this simply because you're Black. Like, we were walking outside into sometimes also... inevitable defeat and almost everything and everything that was a necessity back then. So you had to be mentally strong. And then they have your parents. And then they have to accept that mindset into your parents. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? For the world that they're bringing them into.
It's like required for survival.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And our parents, they have us. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're really like the first generation of freedom, you know what I'm saying? For Blacks, you know what I'm saying? For us.
From millennials?
From?
Like millennials, the first generation?
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, well, our parents, depending on someone how old they are, you know what I'm saying? They were around my parents' age, then they had to deal with... desegregation. They had to deal with still with segregation and wars and drafts.
Yeah, because my mom was... I guess my mom would have been growing up in the 80s. She was born in the 70s.
My parents were born in the 50s and 60s.
Right, my grandma was born in 49. So, I don't know, my grandma always used to talk about, you know, her experiences growing up, you know, in a segregated school where it was legal. You know what I'm saying? She had to sit in the classroom with all the Black kids. She had to sit in a certain area. You know what I'm saying? You know, it was a time and space before this movement actually took on the wave that it did. And really, that was a lot due to media.
Man, do you know, if somebody sat up here and told me, hey, move your car, nigga. You can't park here, or you can't come in here. Do you know what kind of instant ass whooping they would get? You know what I'm saying? Like, I couldn't imagine living. But I told my granddad all the time, I said, man, I don't know if I would have been able to live back then. I don't know how, because my temper, you know what I'm saying? I know what I would have done.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, I don't think I'd have did well back then.
I don't think I would have fared well. You know what I'm saying? I don't fare well now. You know what I'm saying? I'm not with it now. You know what I'm saying? But that's just imagine that. You know what I'm saying? They didn't have to go through that. You know what I'm saying? We didn't have to go through that. Excuse me. They carried that for us. Yeah. And so when it comes to anything, when it comes to mental health, when we do have issues, you know what I'm saying, real issues to them, it's like, but look what I had to deal with. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, what we had to deal with, it's not really taken seriously. You know what I'm saying? They had to really still figure, whatever it is you deal with, you still have to figure out a way to make it happen. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? But now it's becoming a real thing. That is all kind of carried, you know what I'm saying, into generation. Now it has to be taken seriously, and it should be. You know what I mean? So I think when it comes to mindset and answering your question, that's kind of the whole, that's what I think personally, you know what I mean? But I think it does factor in, but I think.
Yeah, I think it's, it leads to the idea of what was required, if you think about it in, just in like very general terms, like during this era, raising a child as a parent, what were your wishes? What were your goals for your child? What kind of things did you want for them? You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And so that's why I think generations before ours, they were instilled with the mindset that you have to be strong. You have to not show weakness, not show your emotions, because those kind of things, there was really no space anywhere for that kind of stuff, because you had to be mentally strong, because you were also fighting a daily mental battle with just the blatant racism that was happening every day in just the daily lives of black people at that time. And so I think now in today's era we still see that, but we also see the need for us to really now start to unpack some of that trauma, start to begin to understand why we behave the way we do, why we engage with the world in the way we do, because all of that is surrounded or is based upon your mental health mm-hmm. and how you're thinking about yourself, how you're living. You know, it's all a reflection of what's going on inside.
Mm-hmm. It really is, and it starts in your mind, dog. It really, it's the root of everything. If you think you can, you can. If you think you can, you can. It's all in the mind. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what do you think is like one of the biggest misconceptions about mental health?
That everybody's not dealing with it. Like it's somehow something that a person can't endure or experience. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's not, that's not, you know what I mean? I think people think mental health, and for me it's just been broad, because it has been, I battled with depression and anxiety, and you know what I'm saying, and things like that, but it's also a level of acceptance too, you know what I'm saying, because it's like, okay, this is really real, like you keep this is really real mm-hmm. can't avoid it, you know what I'm saying? You keep thinking that it's a dream, but no, this is really real. And keep playing situations back in your head, you know what I mean? It can make you insane, dog. It can really make you insane. And I think there's different levels to mental health that people can identify, whether it be like a habit, like a bad habit, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That you know is a bad thing that's happening, but you still continue to do it. You know what I mean? Something that maybe a person or a thing that you're attached to that's no longer there, but you still have some type of mental control mm-hmm. over you. You know what I'm saying? It could be emotional. It can be physical. There's a lot of different ways that it can affect you, but there's a lot of different ways to get help and talk about it too. So, it's just all about people feeling comfortable. I think you can, what you're doing with your podcast is creating a space where there is something on a person's mind that they can talk about it. You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? Like, I feel like I don't want to feel like I can, because I don't want to feel, nah, bro, like, something on your mind, dog.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Like it's cool. Like, we all dealing with it. Might as well put it all out on.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
deal with it.
We all out here, man. You know what I'm saying? We all out here hunting, dog. You know what I'm saying? It's all... You ain't taking nothing away from nobody, bro. But, you know, it's just making that cool. You know what I'm saying? We make everything else cool. Make mm-hmm. that cool. You know what I'm saying? Everybody take a pause and chill. See what's happening. You know what I'm saying?
So. And how do you think... how do you think creating... what do you think the impact's going to be? Have you even begun to think about, truly what the... I mean, obviously the vision of, you know, creating the space is there. But that impact.
I realize.
The results. Where do you see that going?
I see this being implemented all over the country in schools, businesses, institutions, organizations, because this message goes across so many platforms. And I seen one thing I noticed with my panel. One thing that really stuck with me from the last panel that I did was a gentleman that reached out to me. He said that he felt like he felt healed. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, damn, bro, I ain't no witch doctor or nothing. You know what I'm saying? I'm just out here, you know what I'm saying, telling the truth. But he came to me and he really said that. You know what I'm saying? And parents, one parent that brought his child there, you know what I'm saying, another young people, dog, and it's just like, I really see this becoming larger than the Live Strong campaign was for Nike. I think that I'm adding another attachment to it, so mental health and wellness, so people can come and talk about their mental health, but also learn about the foods and things they import, they buy, their impacts there.
Yeah.
So it's almost like a one-stop shop for people to come and promote health and healing, but also, you know what I'm saying, but also it's mental and physical, you know what I'm saying, on the college campuses across the country where there's a lot of pressure on these kids to perform, you know what I mean? I know being in that space where you got to figure out how you're going to get books for the semester or how you're going to, you know what I'm saying, the pressure of classes and it holding, all that, you know what I mean, unpacking all that on different campuses, content wise, you know what I'm saying, from everything that we're doing and producing that, being able to get that out there so people can really see and get the information about their own, where to get the help, and also partnering with different organizations and nonprofits and the nonprofit that we have established. And being able to help spread this awareness and create as big of a platform as possible. Because this is one thing that I want people to copy. You know what I'm saying? Okay, cool. You know what I'm saying? Okay, if you want to do it, do it. You know what I'm saying? Because I want people to really be able to unpack what it is that they need to so they can become their best, maximize their potential while they're here. Because one thing that we don't have a lot of is time, but a lot of people think that we do. We definitely don't. So I'd rather tap in and go all in, you know what I'm saying? Tap in. Really see what can I really make happen, you know what I'm saying, with this. And I think all I have to do is just tell the truth. But what I'm going to do, that's what you do anyway. And I want other people to tell their truth because they don't know how much that can help and inspire somebody a person. Man, he's going through the same thing. Wow, for real? He's like, oh, wow, okay, I can do this. That's all it takes, bro. I'm saying, trying to tell folks, man, we can all inspire each other by just tapping in. Really, really unpacking to see the best that we can be.
Yeah, I know. Me and one of my good friends, it's gotten to the point that we're so focused that every time we connect, that's all we talk about is goals, next steps, strategies, ideas, you know what I'm saying? So within those spaces, not only them being about mental health, but also being about, you know, what to do with that creative space, different things that you could do, how you can use either your story, your experience, or, you know, a skill that you may have to add something, make a contribution to this world we all live in. I think that that's one of the biggest things. I mean, that's kind of what I just do with the show in general. It's just, this is my contribution. This is my piece. You know, I don't want to ever, like, compare myself to anybody else, any other show, or anything like that. You know, I don't do this for streams or downloads or nothing like that. You know, it's really to help other people at the same time helping myself, you know, because I too still need this space. You know, I too still need, you know, a space to engage and to know that it's okay to let somebody know that I've struggled with depression, anxiety, whatever. You know, I've had mental health challenges, and having that space to do that and to exchange resources and to share knowledge, you know, and it does somewhat feel good to know that, you know, you're not the only one that's going through this.
Yeah, it's teens. It's just,
you know what I'm saying? It's other people out here that are struggling just like you, and they may have a tool in their tool belt that you don't have, or you may have one of yours that they don't have.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Y'all can share from each other, you know, from, you know, by sharing your stories, your experiences.
Exactly. We can all help and heal each other, man. That's the whole point of it. You realize that we're more alike than we are different in many a ways. But
what, let's see, we're hitting our, like 43 minutes in. I keep them at about 50 to 55. But, I do want to ask you some questions, like, because I think that around creating a safe space, I always want to give people resources and, like, words of wisdom. So, like, what has been some things that people around you have done that have helped you? Whether that be, I mean, actual doctor, therapist, family, friends, what has been some of the things that people have done for you that have helped you through your challenges?
Well, it kind of started by when you go through, like, real life-changing adversity, you're able to really identify who and what really matters. From there, you can really start to establish a support system. Mm-hmm. And that's what really is what saved my life, man. I really had a really solid support system from people that, you know, I met 10, 15 years ago, but never really knew why. And some people that had more recently, that had more things that I had met, known for 30 years, you know what I mean? Some family members. And I think you have to be around people that are going to keep you incredibly, not just positive, but encouraging, inspired. I think that's a lot to do with the people that I'm around now. Like, they inspire me to be more creative in how I can make this a turn, what it is that I've been through, and help others and be creative about it. It's really going back to your discipline as an athlete and how you approach the game. You had to approach this like a game. It really break it down with the process, and I understand that you're not going to get everything back at once. It's a real down, first down, play by play, mm-hmm. second by second process, man. And from there, you have your nest of inspiration to where you have to figure out what it is that's going to, what is it that inspires you? You know what I'm saying? What is it that gives you purpose to want to get up in the morning? And you don't have this anymore. You know what I'm saying? You have to, what matters to you? You know what I mean? What is it? What is it that?
That's that part where you really got to begin to look at yourself.
You got to really look at yourself and see what's happening. You know what I'm saying? You really going to get tested, because when you really, really see that when you're on your bed, man, you really going to really understand what really is important. It's not the things that you thought. Not that those things were bad. It's just,
yeah,
what are you leaving behind? Who are you inspiring? Who are you helping? You know, it's more so about that, and the way that you do that is by tapping into your highest potential, really seeing what type of person you are, and the way that you figure that out is through adversity. You know what I'm saying? Adversity reveals character. You know what I'm saying? There was no way that I could avoid, you know what I'm saying, any steps where I had to go straight in. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I had to be, okay, this is what you're dealing with for 4 years. You know what I'm saying? Like, that was my life. And even after it, it's still a daily battle. And you have to have a really support system that you talk to. I talk to my OG Chief probably every day.
OG Chief, that's your...
I call him OG. I think there's not enough OGs in this generation, like older people, you know what I'm saying, to help. You know what I'm saying? Really, to really help, you know, just help navigate, you know what I'm saying? Older cats has been through it, you know what I'm saying, that really understands the real meaning of life and give that perspective back.
Why do you think that is? Like,
I don't know, man. OGs, man. A lot of it is because these dudes, it's not just us, you know what I'm saying? Just in general. Like, there needs to be more of a male figure in these young men's life, because a lot of them are raised by single parent households, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And there's not enough male figures, you know what I mean, that could really sit down and be like, bro, listen, like, this is how we do things, you know what I'm saying? This is how you can do this. This is what, you know what I'm saying, credit looks like. This is what entrepreneurship looks like. This is what respecting a woman looks like, you know what I'm saying? This is what chivalry looks like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
you can be a gangster and a gentleman, you know what I mean? You can be a savage, but be savant, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, you can be
balance.
You can have balance, you know what I'm saying?
Be a well-rounded individual.
Very well-rounded individual.
And know how to engage with those different sides of yourself.
For sure. Embody that. But that's really how, to get back to your question of what type of system, that's really what it is, man. You have to be surrounded by like-mindedness, you know what I mean? You don't have to be the same thing. Doing the same, you have to have the same energy about the thing that you want, you know what I'm saying? Like, you have to have the same enthusiasm and passion. Like, that's, you can get around that, you stay around that, man, that's where the creativity boils, and then you never know what can happen. That's what you have a shot. You know what I mean? Just a bunch of dudes that are very passionate, energetic about what it is they do in life, and that it's infectious. You know what
I'm saying? I think that, I mean, that's definitely one of the goals here, moving forward, is to be able to build that community. Because I know so the space is like, I kind of feel like, okay, the space is there. Mm-hmm. I got the podcast, you know, I got the mic, you know, next I want to get the headphones and some other stuff. But
sure.
The space is there. Now I really want to focus on, or put more energy into, building that community aspect of it.
Mm-hmm.
Because it does, like, I've never seen anybody that's that has a large quantity of anything or any amount of success, they have a team. You know what I'm saying? There's always a team of individuals, of people, and there may be one person at the lead that's driving the vision or driving the mission or the goal, whatever it may be. But there's always a team of support, different people on your team that are willing to play their role and support you in whatever it is you're trying to achieve.
Right.
That's you know, critical, and even kind of matches with, from like an entrepreneurship standpoint and a mental health standpoint, you know, in order to really navigate it, to really go and deal with it and handle it and manage it, you have to have those people around.
Absolutely.
To support you, to work with you, to help you process, to help you maintain, but to help you continue to go through the motions of engaging with the growth process that comes with that, because I believe it's all really boils down to growth. It's just the acquisition of knowledge and how this knowledge affects you moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
For myself, I think the more I talk about mental health, the more I have shows like this, the more I engage with my podcast, it's helping me to become not only just a better speaker, but it's helping me to become more aware of just the topics that I talk about, mm-hmm. which one of the big ones is, of course, mental health. I think it's very important that, you know, other people do the same thing. You know, everybody doesn't have to necessarily be as like a mental health advocate like I consider myself, but I do think that this is one of those things in life that everybody should have some general knowledge about, that there should be some solid understanding surrounding and the effects and the implications of it, because you never know who around you is dealing with what.
Exactly. That's crazy you say that, because that's exactly how I felt about family members that have been around my whole life. When I started talking about, and after I shared my testimony, people I had no idea were dealing with some things I had no idea. Things that happened to them, you know what I'm saying? And I just think that it's just crazy, man. You know what I'm saying? What people have buried, you know what I'm saying? Skeletons, man. You know what I mean? It's just...
Yeah, a lot of people are, you know, ashamed of the things they've been through, the adversity they faced, the challenges that they've, I mean, oftentimes have overcome. You know what I'm saying? And that's something that has... I try to think about that a lot, because it is, for myself, it's been a practice. Like, I've had to kind of practice that skill that, you know, yeah, I'm talking about, you know, some challenges I've had in the past, some things that I may be dealing with, but to get to this point and to be here to be just simply talking about it shows that I've overcome a lot of what, for example, like what this mental illness has brought upon me. You know what I'm saying? So having these conversations is like a marker, a checkpoint to let you know that you are doing well, you are making progress, and you're still doing your part to reach back and help somebody else.
Exactly. I think it's an obligation for us to not be able to withhold knowledge and give it back.
Yeah.
I think it's something that we should definitely do. Especially young brothers, we should reach back and help, man. It's not enough of that. Too much, a lot of egos, selfishness, you know. For me personally, I've always seen, even in sports, like, ego is such an enabler, you know what I'm saying? Like, it is such an enabler, because I feel like each individual has to get the credit for this, that, and the third, instead of just playing your role to Dennis Rodman type of level and seeing a whole team win. That's going to bring every opportunity that you were looking for to you.
To the team, yeah.
And everybody's going to have an opportunity to create from that. You know what I mean? We need more of that. More young people. I think the generation really is creative. You know what I'm saying? Just, there needs to be more of it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'm very... very optimistic about my generation. I'm just optimistic about society. Well, I don't know what this coronavirus, like, it's kind of put a little damper on the parade. It's very scary and frightening.
I ain't gonna lie to you, man.
But I believe there's still a sense of humanity out there in people.
Absolutely.
In some people, I believe that, you know, we have the ability to overcome this. Just like anything, you know, any other challenges. But I want to go ahead and wrap this up. Is there anything else you want to add before we close out?
Man, I just want anybody who ever hear this, any young person, you know what I'm saying? Anybody, you know what I mean? Just stay encouraged, you know what I mean? Really believe in yourself. Really listen to that inner voice, that voice that's always humming behind your mind. It's trying to tell you something. Listen to it, follow it, you know what I mean? And really don't be afraid to be uncomfortable for a little while. You know what I mean? That's where you really see what you're made of, you know what I mean? And really just tap in and keep God first, keep your energy great. Stay encouraged, believe in yourself, And remember, the consistency is the most important thing in life. The consistency is the most important thing. So nobody wants anybody or anything that's inconsistent in their life, or they shouldn't, you know what I mean? So whatever it is that you do, make sure you go hard at it consistently, because that's the only way the results are going to come, you know what I mean? So that's the only thing the GM has to say about that.
All right. So my just closing remarks is just, I just want to thank everybody that's listening, everybody that's been tuning into this episode. JK, appreciate you coming on the show, man. I think this has been a great show. Just again, continue to push the narrative forward, elevate the consciousness of our people, and let people know that, you know, these safe spaces are out there. This is one of them. But like almost a lot of the things you got going on, there are other spaces being created, and you really just gotta find your way. And I'm happy that we were able to connect and do this to let other people know that this may be a way to, for somebody else to find some sort of resource or to get some knowledge that, you know, they've been looking for, they've been seeking. So,
for sure, man. Thank you for giving me the opportunity, bro.
Yep. All right. Thank you guys for listening, and we're out.
Peace.